You guys remember that time when you were a kid, or multiple occasions, when an anxious group of children would gather around and two of them would be selected, and they'd be set on opposite ends? It was the time to pick teams. It was always a nervous time for me. But one thing that became very evident is the first pick, always just the best person. And for me, well, or at least my childhood, that first person picked was a kid named Jared O'Connor. Every time. The guy was amazing at everything. And so whatever we were being picked for, he was the best. You know, one thing I thought was interesting, for all of our Crimson Tide fans, the big man Cody, I was looking at where he might end up. And he may very well be a first round draft pick for the San Diego Chargers, which I would be very happy about. But it's just because the first is the best. You don't pick the weakest link first. For the children picking teams, you don't pick the scrawny, nerdy one who's kind of nervous about everything. God's the same way. When God chooses the best. And what we're going to be talking about this morning is a theme throughout Scripture, which the exact phrase is not used but a handful of times, but it is illustrated in so many ways. The concept of giving God the first fruits. Now, though that phrase is seldomly used, in fact, just that handful of times, what it shows is the true nature of being a servant of Christ today. By giving Him the first fruits. By giving Him the best of what we have. One verse that very easily and succinctly illustrates what the concept of the first fruits is would have been the other verse that I would have had Larry read for the scripture reading. It's from Exodus chapter 23 and verse 19. What it says is, "You shall bring the choice first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God." In short, bring God your best. Give Him the best of everything. What it came from, the concept of first fruits, is an agricultural people. An agricultural people who would plant, plant fields every year, except the Sabbath year. And as it would come time for the harvest, they would go out and they would send reapers. And God said, the first of what you get from that goes to me. Now, we're going to talk about this for a couple different applications. A lot of times that I've heard this, it's, or heard about this concept of the first fruits, it limits itself strictly to giving God of our means, which we've already done, and I'm thankful that we get to do that for the Lord. But it's so much bigger than that. It's giving God the first of you. Giving God the first of your time. Giving God your priority. We're going to see that in a couple different places in the Bible this morning. But what I want you to take away from this, as you leave this auditorium this morning, is give God the best of you. Now, as we talk about these things, a couple verses that also illustrate it, which just illustrate this main verse I have up here on the board. One from Nehemiah chapter 10, around verse 35, says, "And they might bring the first fruits of our ground, and the first fruits of all the fruit of every tree to the house of the Lord annually, and to bring to the house of our Lord the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle and the firstborn of our herds and our flocks, as it is written in the law." They didn't limit it either. They just said, we're supposed to give God the first of everything. We see that from a very early time in the Bible. In fact, the story that you know very well is the story of Cain and Abel,
which we'll get to that in just a second. But giving God the first fruits, what does that really mean? Giving God your best. In every time that is used, it really serves to illustrate three main things. First, giving to the Lord means the first fruits illustrates the quality of our offering. We've already talked about the first is the best. You could think of it as the first potato chip that you get out of the bag. It's always the one that's whole, it's big, it's crisp, it's flavorful, and after that you just keep wanting more. You can never stop at one potato chip. But then when you get to the bottom of the bag, they're all crumpled and they're crushed and you kind of got to get the claw going to get them out. It's because they're what's left over. Well, that's how our lives are. We have that which is first to us, that which is best of us. And then we have what's left over. Think of your time. There's the illustration, I think it was used when we had our gospel meeting about evangelism, that there's a jar. And in that jar, you put in a whole bunch of big rocks, and the professor asked, "So is this jar full?" Answer, "Yes, of course it is." And then he takes some pebbles and he pours them in. And it fills up closer to the brim. Again asks, "Is it full?" Students answer, "Yes." Well, then he takes some sand, pours it in. And then it brims off again, says, "Is it full?" "Okay, yeah, this thing is getting really full right now." And then he takes some water and pours more in. And when it was first illustrated to me, I had a few very big class clowns in the room who said, "Well, what's the point of this? There's always room for more." And the teacher said, No. That you got to put the big things in first. Your priorities, everything. We have our big things in our life. We have the best. And we make room for that which is most important to us. That which we have in esteem most quality. God wants that. And illustrating first, or the concept of the first fruits illustrates that quality, that first thing, that big thing, is what God wants. Not the bottom of the barrel. Also, once again, the first fruits illustrates the priority of our offering. We can serve God every day, in my opinion, still not give Him enough. But only because, since He is so important, since He is the only thing that matters, I never feel like I can give Him enough during the day. Though that is the case, that's a decision that we make, to make priority for God. And it really shows something about who we are and what kind of servants we are when we make priority for Christ, when we make priority for God. As they were supposed to be giving their first fruits, they took that which was first and gave it to God. It's called first fruits for more than one reason. Because it was their first priority. It was their biggest importance to give to the Lord. But not only does it illustrate quality and priority, first fruits illustrates the reason of our offering. In that same passage that I read earlier in Nehemiah 10, it talks about the fact that God says they ought to give this to me because I am bringing them into the land. Because I am giving them this land as a blessing. The reason that we give to the Lord is not because it's ours, but because it's His. I know the Hammonds would be a little embarrassed if they knew that I was going to say this, so I didn't warn them beforehand. I learned a lot from the Hammonds when I first got here. When I first got here, I had intended to stay in kind of an extended stay hotel just before I got an apartment, got my feet on the ground, whatever. And Miss Hammond, as she was walking through the building on my first day here, said, "Well, where are you staying?" I said, "I'm going to get an apartment eventually." She says, No. "Where are you staying tonight?" I said, "I don't know, a hotel." And she says, No. "You're coming home with me. You're going to come stay with Richard and I." I said, "Okay." And while I stayed with them, one thing that they continued to say that I was just so impressed by, sorry, Richard, is that they kept saying, "You know, this is all God's anyway. We find it a blessing to be able to be a servant. We find it a blessing to be able to give of what we have because it's not ours." I learned more about stewardship from them than I've learned from anyone at any time. And that's what first fruits are all about. Is recognizing just that. God has given us so much. Just take a second and think of all the things that God has given us. Whether it be the clothes on our back, whether it be the houses that we live in, the food that we eat, whether it be the time that we have, the air that we breathe. I love to listen to kids pray. Don't you? I remember once, and this happened on multiple occasions, my little buddy Timothy from San Diego, he was about 4, and they asked him to say the prayer for the blessing, or for the food, and or before the meal, whatever. And so he said, "Thank you, God." That list had to have extended for about 15 minutes. I mean, it's like he was just looking around, and he said, "Thank you, God, for the silverware. And thank you, God, for Mom and Dad and our friends and my playground outside." And it was just like he was looking around, and everything that he saw, he said, "Thank you, Lord." The 4-year-old recognized that everything that he had came from God. But one thing that the 4-year-old doesn't understand yet that you can understand today is as you look around and see everything that you have is from God, you can understand the concept of first fruits and giving back to God everything that He's given you. And what a blessing that is. But all of these things, the quality, the priority, the reason that we do it, is illustrated in this concept of the first fruits. Now, like I said, this starts very early in the Bible, even with Cain and Abel. Do you remember what happened with Cain and Abel? Well, if not, in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, "So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground." Okay, he's giving fruits. Sounds good. But Abel on his part also brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions, which were considered the best portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. Even from the very beginning, God was showing us what it means to be a true servant. What it means to truly follow Him. Abel was regarded because he offered the best of what he had by faith. And we ought to continue to do that. Now, as this theme of first fruits continues on from Genesis and goes on through the Bible, we come across this story in Joshua chapter 7. And in Joshua chapter 7, we read verse 1 as our scripture reading this morning, because it is the first verse of the story which really summarizes the problem, what happened. God, when making all these promises about the first fruits, or commandments about the first fruits, and saying, I am ushering you into the land, therefore give me the first fruits, God was giving them the land of promise. And he did it with such power. Cities fell. Nations fell. People ran away, and they came into the land that 20 years earlier they saw was a land flowing with milk and honey. They knew the blessings that they would receive when in the land. And so, God commanded that the first city that fell would be dedicated to him. Do you know which city that was? It was the city of Jericho. You've got the awesome story about Jericho, where they've crossed over the Jordan, they've come, and no one really had to lift a finger for this city to fall. No army required. They just were told to walk around the city once a day, except on the seventh day, they walked around the city seven times. And on the seventh time, they shouted with a loud cry, and those walls came crashing down. God gave the victory. But God, concerning that city, says, don't touch anything. It's like Aladdin in the Cave of Wonder. He walked in, saw everything, but don't touch anything. This city is going to be the first fruits. Now, as it is stated in Joshua chapter 7, it never says first fruits. What it says is under the ban, because it was the Lord's. It was just that same concept, that because it was dedicated to the Lord, no one was supposed to touch it. Now read with me again in Joshua 7 and verse 1. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1. Well, that's Judges. It says, but the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regards to the things under the ban. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, took some of the things under the ban. Therefore the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. Achan didn't want to do it. Achan saw everything that was around, and he didn't think of God first. He thought of himself first. And so, seeing what could benefit him, he took it. And that started a great chain of events. But this sin of Achan that we see in Joshua chapter 7, all of chapter 7, verses 1 through 26, is the danger that we have today. Is the same temptation that we have as we have been blessed by the Lord. What was that sin exactly? It was more than just taking silver. The sin of Achan was refusing to submit to the Lord. Everybody knew, don't touch. This is for God. It's dedicated to Him. This is the first fruits. This is what God requires of us, because He's going to give us so much more. But Achan saw opportunity instead. And that opportunity, when he yielded to it, he refused to submit to the Lord. as each of us have been given opportunity, if ever, whenever, however, we do not take advantage of that opportunity for the Lord, we are committing the sin of Achan. Because what it means to truly be a servant of the Lord is to regard Him first and listen to what He has to say. Heed the Word of God. That was the first part. But then, what transpires after that? Is that the nation continued on. Well, they went on to their next battle anyway. The battle of Ai. And as they went, God, as we saw in Jericho, gave the victory. Not a hair on their head was harmed. God utterly gave the victory. But when they went against Ai afterwards, because Achan had done this, the sin of Achan brought the wrath of God upon the people. It says that they fled away. Read with me verses 2 through 4. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, "Go up and spy out the land." So the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up. Only 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go up to Ai." Do not make all the people toil up there, for they are only few. So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, and they fled from the men of Ai. Verse 5. The men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. So the hearts of the people melted and became as water. They saw Jericho fall. And so when they scouted out Ai, they said, "Okay, well, we don't even need as many people. Just send a couple thousand. Let them take care of it. God will give the victory." But instead, what happened was they ended up turntail and running because God didn't give the victory. And as it turned about, they inquired why. And they knew someone had broken that covenant with the Lord. So they began to search through all the families and all of their tents. And then they came across Achan. And they found it. And so, not only did the sin of Achan bring the wrath of God upon the people as he refused to give them victory and instead 36 men died, the sin of Achan brought the wrath of God upon him. What happened to Achan? He, his family, everything that he had was stoned or burned because of the sin that he committed. Because of his refusal to submit, because of his desire to pursue earthly wealth more than pursuing the desires of the Lord, he lost everything, including his life, the life of his family. Everything perished. And the same is true for all of those who do not give the best to the Lord today. There's a great day coming. A great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. When the saved shall come to the Lord And He will give victory even over death as He ushers them into life. But there's a sad day coming. A sad day coming. A sad day coming by and by. When those who have refused God will hear the words, "Depart, I know ye not." And what will happen? There may not be stones, but there will be gnashing of teeth. And there will be plenty of fire. But that just serves as a negative example. I think that the story of Achan and why we have it is to give us a warning. Give us a warning to serve the Lord. Give us a warning to give God our best. Give God the first fruits. What's awesome, what we'll talk about in just a little bit, is that they named the valley that he was stoned in. They named it the Valley of Achor. Keep that in mind for a little bit. But knowing this sin and knowing what God requested beforehand, we have to ask the question, what does God want? What does He want from me? What does He want from you? And as each of us come into the service of the Lord, what does He want? Got three things for you. First, the Lord desires our submission. He wants us to listen to Him. And not just listen. Not the hearers only, but doers of what He says. Submitting to Him in our every action. Submitting to Him in everything that we do. Because that's where Achan fell short. We need to submit. That's what God wants from us. God, the Lord desires our submission. But as part of this, the Lord also desires our honor. Not that we would be honored, but that we would honor Him. In giving God the first fruits, in giving God the best, it shows how much you regard the Lord. It shows how much you consider the Lord, that He is your priority, that you do recognize that all good things come from Him. And because of that, this turn of service glorifies all that He has done, all that He is doing, all that He will continue to do. It glorifies God, and God wants that from us. God who is among all people glorious, God who is of all to be honored. He is the Creator of the universe. Just read a couple Psalms, and you will see how the psalmist laud God for everything that He has done, for the salvation that He brings, for this earth that He created, for the life that we have and the blessings that come through Him. He deserves our honor. He wants our submission. He wants our honor. But to sum all up, the Lord desires you. You can give, we've already noted the collection. You can give of the collection every week. And it not mean a thing. Because the Lord just doesn't just want your money. Another example. You can do a lot of good things in your life. You can do a lot of things which you find in the Bible. But unless God has you, unless you've dedicated yourself to Him, then you are left at just being a good person. God doesn't want good people. He wants, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know what's funny about that passage? Servants were property. Servants were possessions. In the ancient concept, they had nothing. They were nothing. They were little more than intelligible cattle. They were seen as possessions. But if we are to be that good and faithful servant, God has to possess us. We have to give ourselves over entirely. And the Lord desires you. You know that crowd of anxious children that I talked to you about before? Where Jared O'Connor was the first one always picked? It's because he was the best. My question is, how in the world could God have determined that He wants me? It's not the quality that I have of my own person. But God loved man so much that not only did He bless him with everything that he has here, but He blessed man with the ability to have a relationship with Him, with God. I don't understand it, but I'm sure thankful for it. That God, the Creator of the universe, that God, the all-powerful, the all-loving, the all-holy, the all-good, wants me. I would more than willingly give myself to Him. But that's what He wants. He wants you. He wants you to give yourself to Him first. In all of the things that we've talked about, I want you to take with you the desire to serve God. The desire to give Him what is due Him. That's going to require a lot of faith. And that's going to require recognizing that God is the only one who deserves anything. We don't deserve anything. What we deserve is death, destruction, punishment. But you know how I told you to remember the story of, or the fact that the valley was named Achor? In Hosea chapter 2, in verse 18, it says, I will give to them the valley of Achor as a door of hope. It points to the story of Achan and the man who stood out from all and brought a punishment, brought the death of 36. But instead, not through one man bringing a destruction, but just as is talked about through Adam also, through one man, God would usher in His people to the promised land. He would have the perfect entering. Not that as the people were entering into the promised land, it would be found in fault. But that as entering in the promised land, it would be found through the redemption of Jesus Christ. You know how I told you that that term first fruits is only used a few times? Well, three of those times is used in 1 Corinthians 15, where it says that Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the dead. And that through Him, all would be blessed. Through Him, all could receive life. One thing I didn't mention earlier that I intended to mention was that in giving God that which was first, it was a recognition that everything that came after was from the Lord. Well, Jesus Christ, who first rose from the dead, who God received back from the dead as a first fruits, everything that follows afterwards is God's. We have that opportunity today to have life, to have that blessed life, to enter into the promised land, just like those who first came to Jericho. But in the same way, what does God desire? He wants you, and He wants you bad. He wants you to offer yourself. Now, there may be those here who have not given themselves to the Lord. I pray you give God the first fruits and not wait till later to give Him the bottom of the barrel, to give Him whatever you deem fitting to give Him left. I pray you give God the first fruits today. Because one more time of walking out the door, one more time of seeking your own, just as Achan did, is not giving God the first fruits, but instead brings the same punishment that came upon Achan. And God doesn't want that for any of us. Don't wait till later. As the old adage goes, don't put off till tomorrow what ought to be done today. Or, if you have given your life to Christ and just recognize that you've started living for yourself again, that it's almost as if you're trying to take back what you've given to the Lord, and desire the prayers of those here to encourage, to strengthen, and that everyone here may help you, there's an invitation to give God the first fruits today. And I pray you would do that as we stand and we sing.